I thank you tonight. Thank you for the anointing. Thank you that we have anointed ears, anointed hearts, and there's an anointed word tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. You ready? Amen. Praise the Lord. Come on, church. Don't disconnect now.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. We got to get past walking by our emotions controlling our lives. How many knows the Bible says this? Those that are led by the what?
Spirit.
Say it again.
Spirit.
Those that are led by the Spirit are the sons of God, not those that are led by their emotions. Your emotions are all over the place. Amen. You get some bad news and they go to the cellar. You get some good news, they go high. Emotions are for a purpose, but they're not to be what we let our lives, let it guide us and lead us. Because I'm telling you, if you live in this life long enough, you're going to have enough downtime or down times in your life that if you let your emotions control you, you'll be a downer, depressed, discouraged person most of your life. You got to determine, I'm going to follow the Spirit. The Spirit of God's joyful. How many knows when the economy went bad, God didn't fall off the throne and go, oh, what are we going to do, Jesus, angels, Holy Spirit? No. And God wants us, if we're led by the Spirit, we're doing what the Spirit's doing.
Amen.
Come on, church.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You heard Leila share a testimony of answer to prayer. And last week we talked about positioning ourselves for answer to prayer. And you heard the testimony. And does anybody, you want to share yours, hon? Do you feel comfortable sharing it?
Yeah.
Come on up. I want this on CD. I want people to hear that God is answering prayers. Because that builds our faith. Amen. Go ahead, sis.
We've had some trouble with our house payments.
Pull that a little closer to you there.
We've been having some trouble with our house payments. They haven't been being paid fully since October of last year. You still can't hear me? Sorry.
That's not, try.
All right.
There you go.
All right. We've been having trouble with our house payments. They haven't been being paid correctly since October of last year. After we had Brady, everything just kind of got a little worse, going down a little bit faster. And I didn't realize it was going down that fast until about January, February. So my husband contacted a company, and he is trying to get us out of foreclosure. Our home actually fell into foreclosure, and we were going to lose it. It was being sold on the auction steps, at the courthouse steps, a month ago. Well, we haven't been able to get a hold of the company. We've been trying to get a hold of them, didn't know what was going on. We thought we were going to be kicked out of our home. We were looking for a place to live. The guy wouldn't call us, wouldn't contact us a week ago. He called my husband at home and said, we have a company that's taking over the loan.
Hallelujah.
They dropped it.
Yes.
Our percentage rate is not bad. It's 6% now. They dropped it to below 5%.
Wow.
And we do not have to, it is not going to affect us at all. It's going to pretend like it was never there and we're starting brand new with our loan.
Praise God. Good testimony. Hallelujah. Now that, if she would have let her emotions carry her away, even after she prayed, she would have gave up and she wouldn't have got the answer to the prayer. She would have probably quit church. A lot of people, when things ain't going good, the first thing they say is, where's God? Why aren't you helping me? He is helping you. You just don't see it. I think sometimes we need to, I wish God would peel back the scales from our eyes and say, I'm working. But did you realize there's 6.5 billion people on the earth and God's got a lot of maneuvering to do to get your prayers answered so He doesn't hurt other people in the process? Come on now. He cares about you, but He cares about everybody else too. So we got to give God a little bit of room to work. And in the meantime, we got to keep our faith. I let her share that because it is a powerful testimony. She was really on the verge of, they were looking for a place, an apartment, I believe it was, to move into, start their lives over. But God had different plans and actually come out better than they were before. So I'm telling you, if you'll hang on to God and you'll hold on to what you know is right and believe what is right and continue to do right. Did you know the Bible says that those who continue, you'll know the truth and the truth shall set you free. And then it goes on, those that continue in my word are my disciples. It is we don't just start with God and then when things don't go our way, we give up. We can't do that. We got to say, God, I'm going with you to, if necessary, the bitter end.
Amen.
And if God sees you got that kind of fortitude, He'll take you places. He'll make you an overcomer. So last week we talked about answered prayer, positioning ourselves for answered prayer. And I spoke about, and the reason I'm preaching this message, this series of messages, is God saying, my people are not getting answers to prayer because they're not in the right position and they're not understanding how prayer works according to my word. God has spiritual principles that work the same way every time, and God doesn't change because He says, I change not. I'm the God that changed not. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. He says, if gravity's today, it's gravity tomorrow. That's a spiritual law that will never change till God says that's in effect, okay? You just seen gravity work, didn't you? If I picked this up 1,000 times and dropped it, you'd see gravity work, wouldn't you? Huh? Is it working?
Yeah.
Amen. When I step off that platform, it works. As you get older, it works. Amen. I looked in the mirror and I said, what happened? 40 some odd years of happening. That's what happened. But listen to me. There's spiritual principles in the Word that works. And we talked about last week, what do we have to do to get in a position to receive from the Lord? One is, the first thing we got to do is prepare our hearts. You won't plant any seed anywhere unless you prepare the ground. The Bible says, break up the fallow ground of your hearts. That is a place we got to go in, and I said that we need to examine our lives. I talked about a minister who would not pray for people unless they first went home and examined their lives and see if there was any sin. Now, when I say sin, I mean habitual sin. We all sin, don't we? Well, okay, let me rephrase. Y'all do, I don't. Yes. See, I just did. You understand? That's a joke. For some of you who didn't get it, it was a joke. We all sin. We all have the ability to sin. But what I'm talking about is someone who knows the will of God but refuses to change. That's habitual sin. But if there's areas of our life that we've let go astray, that we're not tending to, we've let get out of control, the first thing you need to do is examine your life. Kenneth Copeland, who's been walking with the Lord for some 40-some-odd years and ministering all over the world, I heard this out of his mouth. Anytime that something comes against him, the first thing he does is he goes to his closet. He begins to look at his own self. Not your neighbor. It's not your job to be nosy and worry about what everybody else has got in their life. Look, it's a full-time job keeping up with your own problems. Is that right? So we don't have to get all involved in everybody else's business because we can't take care of our own business. And we got enough business of our own to try to tend to worry about, not worry about what everybody else has got or don't got. So what I'm saying, the first thing we need to do is we need to examine our hearts. The Bible says examine yourself to see if you be in the faith. And that's a good thing. It's not a bad thing because it'll lead you to a place of cleansing and a place to position yourself that God can answer your prayers. Because Bible says, God says, His ears are open to the prayers of the what?
Righteous.
If we're living unrighteously, you might as well hang it up. You're not going to get consistent answers to prayer. So the first thing, what we talked about last week, is we make sure, and there was a man of God that had a great healing ministry. When people would come to him for healing, the first thing he'd do is send them home saying, 2 days from now, come back after you've examined your soul and your heart and see if there's anything between you and God that you need to straighten out. When you do, come back. And he had the most tremendous miracles that you ever believe. And I said, if I said that to some of you when we got in the prayer line, you probably wouldn't come back. See, some of you said, yeah, that's right. You see, that we got to get our attitudes right. We got to get, listen to me. I said, if last week I said this, that God does not miss it. He is perfect. If there's a disconnect in reasons we're not getting prayers answered, it's not God. Because He said, I'm the God that answers prayers. And He said, my ears are open to the prayers of the righteous. And in the book of John, He says, if you pray anything according to my will, you know that I hear you and I'll grant your petition. So we know that God wants to answer prayers. So if we're not getting answers to prayers, look no further than the end of your nose. Go straight to the mirror and look. Therein lies the problem, not God. The disconnect comes when we get disconnected, not God. Okay? And remember, I said earlier, it takes some time sometimes for prayers to be answered. So we need to give God a little bit of space to work too. So I want to start, after I've brought you up to where we were last week, we need to examine our own spiritual lives. That's the first thing we do when we go to God for prayer. The second thing is, I said, was Isaiah 65:24. It shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are still speaking, I will hear. You remember when Jesus was in front of the tomb of a Lazarus? And this is, he made a comment. He said something that was very interesting. He said it out loud so everybody could hear him. And then he says, I said this not because of you, Father, but I said it because of those that are around me, for their benefit. And this is what he said. He said, I thank you, Lord, that you always hear me. He knew when he prayed that God was going to respond. Because he always prayed in accordance to God's will. And he knew that before he ever spoke, God already heard him and the answer was on the way. That is a great place to live. Can we live there? Can we live there? Well, Isaiah says we can. Isaiah says, it shall come to pass that before they call. He didn't say Jesus. So if he said they, he's talking plural and he's including us. And he says, I will answer while they are still speaking, I will hear. That's awesome. That is awesome. I want to share a testimony with you. Something similar happened yesterday. A sister in this church, and I'll let her share the whole testimony Sunday when she's here, called me and hasn't seen her grandchild in 12 years. The father of the son hasn't seen the grandchild or the son in 12 years. And she called me and said, would you pray that we would make a connection with this long-lost grandson and a connection with the son, whom we haven't seen since he's 6 years old, who's now 18. And I said, I certainly will. And I have faith for that. And I prayed and believed that that God would restore that relationship. Got a call first thing this morning. Last night, the contact was made out of nowhere. And today, the child is in their care. It shall come to pass, and I believe that this is the day, that before they call, I will answer. And while they are still speaking, I will hear. I want you to understand one thing about this, why I say this, is that it was an instantaneous answer to prayer. God wants to answer prayer. Not only that, if we pray anything according to His will, is it God's will? This is how you can determine whether or not God's going to hear you or not. Is it God's will that families be separated and there not be any contact among each other? No. Is God's will that we be one as a family? Now, a lot of families in the world we live in are fragmented and what they call it, broken relationships and dysfunctional. But listen to me. God still wants us to be a family. He still wants our family to be healed. He wants it restored, even if it is dysfunctional.
Exactly.
Even if it is. But this was an instantaneous answer to prayer. And it blessed my heart because we just spoke about that scripture last week, Wednesday night. That person heard that scripture last Wednesday night and was excited about it and said, would you pray? And we prayed another prayer for the son and it got answered. We have to position ourselves. We got to understand the principles, the guidelines of prayer. And when we fall within those guidelines, we can have confidence that our God is going to answer them. I know every one of us in here tonight would like to have a prayer life that gets those kinds of results. Do I always get those kinds of results? No. But I'm telling you that Sister Sherry plays the keyboard very efficiently, very fluent, and very beautiful. She didn't do that the first time she got on it. How many years have you been playing, Sister? Okay, and it took several years, but as the more you did it, the more you understood it, the better you got at it. Now, listen to me, this is what I want you to understand. Now she does it without thinking. You can watch her. She'd just be looking around, talking, singing, and her fingers would just be going all over the place. and never miss a beat, never miss a key. Is that what you call them, keys, hon? Not a beat, but a key. And it's amazing. Why? Because she understands the principles of a piano, as her mother used to say, piana. Bless her heart. She used to say piana, and she understands how it operates, and she's operated it enough that she can do it without thinking. Prayer has to come that way in our life if we're going to get results on a consistent basis. We shouldn't have to think about it. It should be first nature to the church. But it didn't happen that way for Sherry in 1 month. It didn't happen that way in a year. Yes, she got better. But I guarantee you, over a course of several years, she got as good. And to maintain it, she has to practice. Come on, church. It's the same way in your spiritual walk. To maintain the spiritual effectiveness that you need to get prayers answered, you can't be hit and miss with God. You cannot take God and leave Him and walk away from Him and come back to Him and not practice prayer, not use it, not use your faith and expect it to work anytime you want to, because it won't. You won't be sharp. You won't understand the keys, so to speak. You won't under. Did you know that Jesus told Peter, "I'm giving you the keys to the kingdom"? What is He saying? I'm giving you the keys to unlock the mysteries of heaven so that you can go through any door you want to, Peter, and you can get answers to prayer. You can bring heaven to earth. Well, it only happens when we understand it and then we operate in it, or as I was saying about Sister Sherry, actually do it. The more we do it, the better we get at it. The more we understand it. I said last week, the church has more faith. We have faith accidents, and then we don't even know how we had it. Sometimes I wonder if God just said, "I feel so sorry for them there. Here, there's a bone." You're laughing, but every one of you know what I'm talking about. But I believe God wants us to understand. Now listen to this. Turn to James chapter 5. We're going to get this one of these days. And we're going to be a house of prayer that gets answers. I want this church to be known for when you got a problem, or people in a community got a problem, or they need healing, they say, "You go over to that place, they know how to pray." Man, them people know how to pray. And they know how to get heaven to listen. You ever pray and you feel like heaven's brass? You know what I'm saying? You pray and you think, "Well, nobody heard that. God didn't hear that." Well, it might be because you're not going by the principles or the guidelines that God has laid down in His Word. Look at James chapter 5, verse 16 through 18. It says, "Confess your trespasses to one another." And we don't want to talk about the trespasses, but he adds this here. And then he says, and pray for one another that you may be healed. Can I take a sidetrack for a second? Is it all right? Because I think we need to hear this. When we confess our faults to one another, it's not so that we can run and blab it to everybody and tell everybody what a bad person that person is, and what, you know, how you're so much better and more spiritual than them. Well, if you do that, you just proved you're very unspiritual and that you don't even have a clue what's going on. Because he goes on to say, and pray for one another that you may be healed. The reason people confess to one another is so that if I tell you my weaknesses, it's in confidence, so that you will pray for me that I'll overcome it and I'll be healed. This is what he's talking about. But we want to do the other. We want to run with it and tell everybody. You know what? Tail bearer. And that won't get you nowhere but in trouble. Listen to this. Here's the rest of the part of the verse I want to focus in on. It says, "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." And I said last week that means mankind or woman. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person avails much. Listen to this. The effective. You know what the word effective means? If I'm effective at what I'm doing, I'm good at it for one thing. But the other thing is, effective or effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man means, in layman terms, it means this, modern language, gets results. gets results. If I'm effective at going to the bank and borrow money, I got money. If I'm effective at going to God and ask for something, and I succeed at it, that's what it means. I was effective at it, then I got results. And God wants us to understand the effective fervent prayer of a righteous person avails much. Now listen, righteous here means a person who is born again, a person who has the righteousness of Jesus. We never approach God on our own merit. However, God does expect us to live into knowledge that we have as far as what is righteous. You can't claim to be righteous and then live like the devil. You can do that, but that's what the Bible calls a hypocrite. Not a righteous person. So effective means we get results. And if we're going to be righteous, we come in the righteousness of God. But we also live to the best of our ability for God. Now, we all want our prayers to be effective, don't we? Two of you do. How about the rest of you? Do you want your prayers to be effective? Yes. You want God to hear and you want Him to respond when you pray. Jesus gave us in Mark chapter 11 the principles. There's four principles He lays down in Mark chapter 11 for us to understand to how to get answers to prayer. I'm going to read to you Mark chapter 11, verse 12 through 14. And then you follow along with me because I want you to get this tonight. I'm telling you, if you do it the way God says to do it, it has to work. It don't have any other choice. Because how many knows if God says, my word will not return void, but will accomplish what I sent it to do. So if God says that and we do according to His word, then it's going to be effective and it's going to work. Look at Mark chapter 11, verse 12 through 14. Now the next day when they had come out of Bethany, He was hungry, talking about Jesus, and seeing afar a fig tree. They must have been from Missouri. I've seen afar a fig tree having leaves. And He went to see if perhaps He would find something on it. And when He came to it, He found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. And His disciples heard it. And He did this on purpose so that the disciples would get a clue. How many knows God wants us to have a clue? You ever seen anybody that was clueless? You ever been clueless? Well, you're honest tonight. Praise God. We all have. And God understands that. And that's why He teaches us and instructs us. He said, the disciples heard it, that Jesus spoke to this fig tree and said, no man's going to ever eat fruit from you hereafter. Now, going down to verse 20. Now, in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Now, this brought back some memory for Peter. And Peter, remembering, said to Him, Rabbi, look. And as if He's astonished. And the fig tree which you have cursed withered away. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For surely I say to you, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things which he saith will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, because I said all these things, that's what therefore means, because of everything I just said, I say to you, whatever things you ask, when you, what?
Pray.
Believe that you receive them, and what? You will or shall have them. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive them, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. Let me tell you what this parable means. It is designed to illustrate to each one of us one great point. And it is this. Our need for faith in prayer. Because He said, you see me curse this fig tree and you're all astonished. But He said, now I say to you because of that, if you will ask God for something and believe that you receive, you can have it. And then, before He said that, He said, have faith in God. So, Jesus exhorted His disciples to believe that they could have answers to prayer. And because believing prayer taps God's power to accomplish what is humanly impossible. Here in Mark chapter 10, verse 27, look what it says. Jesus looked at them and said, with men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. You may have something in your life tonight, or a circumstance or a situation in your life tonight that is seemingly impossible. And it may very well be impossible to you. But he says, with God, nothing is impossible. Nothing. I was reading a story the other day about Smith Wigglesworth. And he was praying for this paraplegic. And he prayed and he cried and he prayed, oh God, heal him, and nothing was happening. And the reason it wasn't, because he was being disobedient to God. God told him, said, tell him, rise and walk in Jesus' name. So he got down and he prayed. He praised and he went through every kind of ritual he could think of. And finally, he just bawling and squalling and said, oh God. And the Holy Spirit said, you're not obedient. You're not doing what I'm telling you to do. Wait a minute now. God was wanting to heal this guy, but yet God was wanting to answer prayer, but he wasn't going about it the right way. You listening? I'm telling you tonight, God wants to answer your prayers, but you might not be going about it the right way. And this is what we're learning from the Bible, is the right way. Anyways, after he got down there bawling and squalling, and he got down in front of this person and repented. Say repented. Repented. That means, God, I'm sorry I disobeyed you. I'm sorry I didn't listen to you, because if I listen to you, you know the right way. And if I do it your way, I get results. So after he bawled and squalled and tried everything under the sun, like we do, finally he listened to God. And God said, you tell him, rise and walk in Jesus' name. Well, when he backed up and did that, guess what? The man didn't walk. He took off running. And he hadn't, I forget, it was 20 some odd years this man hadn't walked. It can happen that quick. But we got to understand that we got to do it God's way. We could be the very problem and not even know it. He told him, said, have faith in God. See, I think every one of us in here believe that God's able. Deep down inside, we think, yeah, God can do anything. But we really just don't have a clue. What I mean is, how to get God to work His work in our lives. I don't believe for a minute that God's sitting in heaven on a throne and they're bringing prayer requests before Him and He goes, no, I don't want to answer that one. I just don't feel like it today. Not when His Word says, if you come believing, asking, that He will. So this whole prayer thing is about getting us to understand some things. Jesus exhorted His disciples to believe that they could have answers to prayers, because he looked at them and he said, with men, things are impossible, but God, all things are possible. God can do some things. He told them to have faith in God. Now, he also exhorted them in this verse. He says, you've got to believe that you receive whatever you requested in prayer. And then faith is this: it is as good as done, even though the actual answer is still in the future. That's what he meant by have faith in God. And he said, believe that you receive. This is that verse 22 is the key to answered prayer. Now listen, there are four elements for effective prayer found in these verses. I'm going over them with you real quick. Mark 11, 24, 25. He says, therefore I say to you, whatever things you desire. Say that with me, desire. When you pray, that goes together, doesn't it? Whatever things you ask, with the word ask means desire, when you pray. Believe that you receive them and you will have them. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive them, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. Let me tell you what the first thing is here. Desire is the starting point. This word desire means to ask. Did you know if you just pray flippantly before the Lord, off the cuff? How many's ever done that? Your heart's not in it.
No, it's not.
I tell people all the time, if it doesn't move you, how on earth do you think it's going to move God? Because you really ain't believing anyways. You're just hoping maybe something will happen. And maybe it will, maybe it won't. I don't know. Is he feeling ill? Bring him up here. We're talking about prayer. We're going to demonstrate right now. Yeah. Father, in the name of Jesus, we speak healing in this child. From the top of his head to the soles of his feet, we rebuke sickness. God, we command healing from this in this young man from the top of his head to the soles of his feet right now. In Jesus' name, we cover him with the blood of Jesus and the healing virtue of Jesus. Amen. Amen. How many knows there's a lot of junk going on right now? And we're covered with the blood. You need to say that every day. So the first thing we need to do is we got to have a desire. This is a starting point. This word desire, here's what it means in the Greek. It means to ask, listen to this, to beg. There has been mothers that have childs that are wayward, that they'll get on their knees and they'll cry out to God and they'll stay on their knees and they won't come out of that prayer closet, or they'll get back in that prayer closet day in, day out, till they see that child delivered and that child come home and restored unto God. Now listen, this is desire. If it doesn't move you, that book you had, he talks about that. Lester Sumrall. If it doesn't move you, don't expect it to move God. If you say, oh God, take care of my son, don't... That's a flippant prayer. That means it didn't move you. You really aren't that serious about it. A desire is, how many's ever really wanted something really bad? Boy, and I mean, you'll turn every rock over to get it. It means to ask. It means to beg. It means crave. There was a boy that was walking along with a preacher along the ocean there. And a boy asked him, how did I get success? How did I get success? He said, step out here in the ocean with me. Mm-hmm. He stepped out about chest high. He said, now, just relax. He took the boy by the head and he plunged him under the water and he held both shoulders down like this. And the boy was, bubbles was coming up and he's fighting with everything in him. And that old man would not let him up. And I mean, that guy's fighting him, trying to get loose, you know. And finally, he comes up and he's purple in the face. And he's, you trying to kill me. He said, you asked me how to get success. He says, when you want success as bad as you wanted to live and breathe, he said, you'll find it. I'm telling you, when you want to answer to prayer that bad, God will answer it. But if you don't have no desire, don't expect God to take you serious. I've had my kids come to me and ask me for stuff, and I knew they were just trying me. They didn't really want it. They just want to see if Dad was silly enough to go for it. Then I've had them want something really bad, and I didn't hear it. I couldn't hear the end of it for weeks on end until I finally gave in. I'm not telling you God wants you to be that way in a sense of a beggar, but I'm telling you, God wants to know that you really got desire for what you're asking for. And you're serious about it. So we got to crave it. We got to call for it or require it. We just got to have it. We get something from God when we have a heartfelt desire to have it. He wants us to have our desires. He said, whatsoever things you desire. Listen to Psalms 37:4. It says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. You might ask, what if I want something that's not good? Well, I'll tell you this, if you can't pray about it, you shouldn't want it. Proverbs 10:24 says, the fear of the wicked will come upon him and the desires of the righteous will be granted. 1 John 3:22 says, whatever we desire when we pray, or we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. 1 John 5:14-15 says, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we ask of him. So the first thing is we got to have a strong desire. If you want to see your children delivered, and I want to see mine. I'm the pastor. I got boys that are not walking with God like they know they should. They've been raised in church. Some of you's got some children the same way, and they're not walking. Yes, they get convicted when dad starts talking about God. Yes, they did, but they got every excuse in the world. But I have a strong desire, and I will not let go of heaven. I hold on to the gates of heaven and say, God, my boys are going to be serving them with the same kind of desire and zeal that I have for you. I quote the scriptures over them every day, and I ring the doorbell of heaven and say, God, I won't let go till I see the answers. So I have a strong desire. The second thing is you got to believe when you pray. Mark 9:23-24, Jesus said to them, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. Immediately the father and child cried out and said with tears, Lord, help my unbelief. I think a lot of us have trouble believing. Let me tell you what this word believe means. It means to think, to be true, to be persuaded of, to have confidence in, and to believe. Here's a good layman term. True belief is having confidence that God is able, and not just confidence that He's able. We all believe He's able, but that He is willing to do it. For you. Did you know when it says, come to the throne room of grace boldly in your time of need, that's an open invitation for you to come. When he says boldly, he doesn't mean you come in there with an attitude. He means you come in there with an attitude, but it's an attitude of gratitude, but it's a confidence that God's not going to reject you. That he's going to say, come on in. Tell me what's going on. Let me hear your requests. And him being King, Lord of Lords, Creator of all things, can grant it. And he says he'll give you help in your time of need. So we can believe that God will respond. So the word believe here means to think that something is true, to be persuaded of it, to have confidence and in that God is able and he's willing to aid us in doing what we're asking. So the second thing, first thing, we've got to have a strong desire. The second thing, you've got to believe. And you ever get in that position where you help my unbelief? At least have enough sense like this guy that was struggling there. He looked at Jesus. He says, I'm trying to believe, but I'm having trouble. Help me. God will do that. That's being honest. We all have. And if we'll get that way with God, he'll hear us. Then the third thing is we need to learn how to receive when we pray. Luke 18:42 says, then Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Your faith has saved you. This word receive means to take with hand. If I give Sister Charlotte here a mint, you can't keep it, all right? I got to have it when I pray for people. Or the anointing will really be strong. If she reaches out, everybody see her? What is she doing? She's receiving. When the mailman comes and he says, you can have it, I was kidding. When the mailman comes and he has a package and he says, you must sign for this, receive it. Are you with me? Have you ever signed for something? When you did, what did that say? It's mine. When he handed it to you, guess what? You just received it. You ever see a football player receive a ball come across the air? Huh? A receiver? He catches what's thrown to him. This is what you got to understand, spiritually speaking. It says, believe that you receive when you pray. Say that with me. Because this is where it gets right over the top of our head. It did not say, believe that you received it when you see it. Did he?
No.
He said, when you pray. In other words, God said, yes. And spiritually speaking, you said, I accept that yes as you're granting my request. Right? Now listen to this scripture. It goes right along with it. Receive means to take with a hand, lay hold of any person or thing in order to use it, to take up a thing to be carried, or to take in order to carry away. In other words, God said yes to my prayer. I got the answer when I walk away from there. Did you know, here's a good example. Some of you come up here and you ask for prayer. I pray for you. And God is my witness, for you're out the back door, you're back here scheming how you're going to figure it out. Did you receive it?
No.
I'll go this side. Did you receive it?
No.
No. Because you're still thinking that you don't have the answer, or you wouldn't be back there. If you had the answer, you'd be going, glory to God, glory to God. God's fixing it. That's what you'd be saying. God heard me. He said, okay, I can rest now. I'm at peace. God's going to take care of it. Or God has already taken care of it. Now all I got to do is behold the glory of God. Now listen to this carefully. Here's another scripture that really brings it to light, what we're talking about. I know, you got to understand, the Bible is spiritual. It has spiritual principles. They don't work. The Bible says the natural man receives not the things of God. Meaning that if you think you've got to figure out everything in your mind with God, you won't receive it. Huh? Made no sense. Why God told Smith Wigglesworth, told that guy to rise and run instead of just getting down there and praying. He said, you just command him to get up and run, walk. And he said, he didn't walk. He jumped straight up and ran. 27 years, I believe it was, where he hadn't walked. Now that's a God thing. Now listen, here's the scripture that backs up what I'm saying. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith, which means present tense, means that when you do something, it's always present tense, is the substance of things hoped for. Listen to carefully, because it'll go right over top of your head, the evidence of things not seen. I'm telling you, it's go right over your head if you don't get this. Now faith is the substance. It didn't say your answer. Well, it didn't say that the manifestation of the answer was your substance.
No, it didn't.
That's what we all think the substance is. The substance when it actually happens in the natural. That's where we miss it, where we goof. That ain't what he says. He says, now faith is the substance. What is faith? Faith in God. Trust in God. Believing that when you believe that when you receive, you have it, it'll be done for you of my Father which is in heaven. That's the faith he's talking about. You have this kind of faith. It says, now faith is the substance. Well, let me rephrase it. Now faith brings substance to the things hoped for. Listen to me carefully. God answers prayers from a spiritual realm. What realm do you live in? You live in a spiritual realm? I thought you looked a little ghostly.
I'm in the kingdom.
You're in the kingdom, isn't it right? It is a spiritual kingdom. She's right in saying that. But I'm saying in the natural, we all walk and live in a natural world. But it has to come from a spiritual world and take substance in a natural world. But faith is spiritual. The kind of faith we're talking about. So now faith is the substance. What I'm telling you is that when you pray, your faith is the substance, your trust, your confidence in God, that it's going to be, the rest of it says, it's the substance of the things that you hope for or the substance of the things you're praying for, you're desiring. The evidence of things not seen. So the prayer, the answer is not manifested yet. But you got the answer because it has substance. The Word of God is substance. Everybody's looking at me like, preacher, you're way over my head tonight. Here, I'll get down here, eyeball to eyeball. I know I'm being silly, but this is how we got to get it. You got to get this. Because it does you no good to hear me rant and rave and preach. If you don't get it, the Bible says immediately the devil comes if you don't understand it, steals the Word sown in your heart. And the Word is what brings faith. The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word.
Yeah.
The substance you need is the Word.
That's
the answer.
Yes,
that's the answer to your request. That's your substance. Is God's promises. His Word. Get the Word. Get the answer. Get the promise. And you got the substance. The substance brings the manifestation into the natural. You say, prove it. Well, God said, let there be light. There wasn't any light. But it brought light into a dark place. Come on now. He told Abraham, you're going to be a father of many nations. Abraham couldn't perform. Neither could his wife. But the Word brought it into manifestation. Y'all got to get this. If you don't get this, this is the very basic principle of the gospel, that the Word has to be sown to bring forth fruit. God said this in Isaiah, my Word will not return void. My Word will not return void, but will accomplish what I send it to do. Did He send the whole Bible to us? Did He send it to accomplish something? What does it accomplish? One thing it accomplishes, it tells you the story of Jesus. And the accomplishment of that is we all get saved. Is that right? Come on now. So it's not returning void. And if He tells you you can be healed in there, if you will receive that, then it'll accomplish healing in your life. I told you the story of my wife and the lump in her breast. And she took the word. We prayed. We believed. She confessed it. Within 2 weeks, it's gone. And the doctors in St. Louis, Dr. Half, who is the leading breast specialist in America, one of them, examined her and said, it's not there. It's gone. And it was as big as my finger. And the natural. The spiritual worked the natural. Understand this, because this is what you got to understand. The spiritual was long before the natural. God was from everlasting. The spiritual is more real than the natural. The reason we have trouble with that is because we're natural. We don't see in the spirit. Did you know when Elijah was standing up there and the guy that was with him and they came out and they seen this vast army and he looked at him, he said, we in big trouble. He said, no, we not. He said, there'd be more for us than there against us. What? He looked at him, he said, what are you looking at? And he prayed that God would open his eyes. And then he seen what Elijah seen. I pray tonight that God opens our eyes. That we can see what Jesus is seeing, what God is seeing. Now, that was three of them. The first three was desired. The second one was believed. The third one was received. When you pray, not when it manifests itself. The answer is yes when you pray. And that brings substance to the thing you're hoping for. Your faith is the substance before it is manifested in your life. Now listen, the fourth thing is forgive when you pray. I believe most Christians aren't living a rogue life of sin. But I think the Bible said the small things, the small foxes spoil the vine. We get mad at one another. Because it's easy to get offended in this world, especially in church. Because we say and do things to each other, and sometimes the devil amplifies what we say or do, and there's misunderstandings a lot of times, and the devil just works overtime to make sure that we get mad at the other person and get our feelings hurt, and that's why Jesus said He added it to the prayer thing, because He knew that the one thing that mankind trips up on more than anything is offenses and unforgiveness. It's so easy to get it. So easy. And He said, if you, while you're praying, be sure, examine your heart, make sure there's no unforgiveness in your heart. Well, you don't know what so-and-so did to me. Well, God does, but He said still, make sure you forgive them. He said, so that your Father in heaven will forgive you. God can't answer your prayers if you have an unforgiveness in your life. Well, so-and-so burnt me for $1,000. God can't answer your prayers unless you forgive them. Well, so-and-so did this to me. So-and-so said this about me. God can't answer your prayers unless you forgive them. Do you want your prayers answered? That's the bottom line. I don't want anything stopping me from getting my prayers answered. You know people talk about me all the time. You know you do. I hear you. No. It's all good, right? People say things sometimes and it gets back to me. You know what I say? Father, forgive them. Because I'm not going to let that get planted down in my heart and rob me. It says a root of bitterness defiles you. Or here's another way. If you've got spiritual fruit in your garden and you've got a root of bitterness running along through there and weeds, what does it do? It chokes out the good. Don't let it happen. Come on up, Sister Sherry, if you would. And show everybody this wonderful gift that you have that I've been bragging about. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet. Jesus has promised to answer our prayers if we'll just learn the principles, operate them. Amen. Brother David, as an example, is a police officer. They have certain guidelines that they follow for every kind of circumstance they find themselves in. As long as they follow those, he's on good, safe ground. Policemen, as long as they'll do the right thing and follow the guidelines, the training that they've been given, the principles, they're on safe ground. But if they get off of those, they get on dangerous ground, things can go awry, things can happen badly, and they can get accused of things that are not right and end up in the pokey, along with the people they're trying to straighten out. I'm telling you, it's that way in life. It's this way in the spirit. We got to learn that God operates a certain way. And if he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, once you figure out how he operates, he don't change. He operates the same. He said, I'm the God that changes not. Once you figure out God operates a certain way and you'll begin to operate that way with him, you get results. Because God won't change it. He won't get you halfway through and say, well, this week I'm doing it a little different. God don't work that way. So before we close tonight, if you have a prayer request, turn that off if you would, sis. If you have a prayer